Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. It has been a blessing to be in this place tonight. I trust that you have sensed the presence of the Lord here as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. I praise the Lord for every word that's found in this King James Bible. I believe it's what God has used to preserve His Word for the English-speaking people today, and that's what we've always used here at the church, and I just believe that it's something that God will preserve and continue to use throughout this entire church age, which will end at the rapture of the church. And our job is to read it, to study it, to preach it, to teach it, and just to live it, to make applications to our lives. And so throughout the Bible, you'll find Bible characters. And some of the Bible characters we've been studying on Wednesday nights, and we'll do a two-year series on just studying some of the lessons and truths that God has for us through these Bible characters. And those are very well-known Bible characters that the Bible has much to say about. There's others throughout the Scripture that are very not so very well-known, little-known Bible characters, but yet God has them in the Scriptures, and I believe that if He has them in the Scriptures, there's something that we can learn through their lives. And sometimes it's learns what to do, other times it's to learn what not to do, but yet there's biblical principles and truths that we can learn from. And so on Sunday nights, we've just been looking at some of these not so very well-known Bible characters and just preaching one message on these. And we've been going New Testament, then we'll get a Bible character in the Old Testament, then we'll go back to the New Testament as long as the Lord continues to lead that way. Now, that might switch. It all depends on how He would lead, but that's how we've been doing it. And so tonight, we're here in the Old Testament, and we're going to be reading in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5 to verse 14. So if you'll stand with me tonight, we'll read the Word of God together. The Bible says, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of the king of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, 'Come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man.' Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, 'Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head.'" I always get a kick out of reading that. Just and the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, 'Curse David.' Who shall then say, 'Wherefore hast thou done so?' And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, 'Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, thank you for the opportunity to be in church and for making it available to each one that's here. And Lord, thank you for their desire to take advantage of the opportunity and have assembled here tonight. We've already been blessed. We thank you for that. But now as we look at this Bible character of Shimei tonight, there's something that you would use to speak to each one of us. I don't know just what's going on in each one's lives. Even as we preached and studied in our Sunday morning Sunday school, we all face trials and we all have burdens to bear. God, the most important thing is how we deal with them and how we look to you for the strength and the help during that time. And so I pray even tonight, as this is somewhat connected, I just pray that you would help each one to receive what they have need of this evening. Bless the study and the preaching of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Just to give you a little history of what's going on, we know that David has a son named Amnon and a daughter by the name of Tamar. Tamar's brother is Absalom. Amnon rapes Tamar. She goes to Absalom. Absalom was waiting for David to act upon that. As far as we know, David really does not do anything, does not act upon, even though he is aware of it, in judging Amnon. So Absalom, after a period of time, takes it into his own hands, and he slays Amnon for his sin of raping his sister Tamar. Absalom flees. David mourns over now the loss of Amnon and his son Absalom. Amnon's dead. He can't bring him back to life. Absalom is not. He mourns for him, knowing that he's alive and he's not with him. After a period of time, we find that Absalom makes his way back into David's life. David puts him in a position. Don't know how wise that would have been, but puts him in a position over the people. We find that Absalom steals the heart of the people. And then he leads a revolt against King David. David's own son, Absalom, is now revolting and tries to kill David. And because he is revolting and he now is trying to kill David, David has to flee. And as he flees a city, he encounters, and I just picture Shimei is a 4-foot guy, you know, with a very squeaky, loud voice who has to be heard. And he's still upset over not Absalom or Amnon. He's upset over Saul. He was a family, part of Saul's family. And so this has been going on inside of him for some time. And now he has an opportunity. He's just this crazy man with a loud voice that feels like he has to be heard. I know he's crazy because David has his mighty men of war with him. And they have swords. And there, you can just imagine David's coming and his muscle-bound bodyguards are all around him. And Shimei starts cursing, coming up to David, throwing stones, kicking dust, and making all these accusations. Wow. Shimei throws rocks. Verse 5 down to verse 8, then verse 13 it says, and as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside. Can you picture this? I love it. When you read Bible stories, realize it took place. They're not fictional stories. They are, that is history. That is history of Israel. These things happened. And understand that God's recorded it for us to learn from these Bible stories. And I believe there's something we can learn from Shimei tonight. And that's who we're looking at. That's who we're going to be studying. And so he's up on the hillside and he's cursing and he went and he threw stones and cast dust. The whole time David was passing by his way. Now imagine David at one of the lowest points in his life. I don't know that it could have gotten any worse in his life. I mean, he has all the things that have happened to him. He's now trying to be the king that he needed to be for Israel's sake. I believe that he's made right somewhat in his own heart toward God because God's hand's still upon David. And David was a man after God's own heart because David knew how to repent. David knew the heart of God. He knew the mind of God. He knew what God was looking for in genuine repentance. And when David was confronted with his sin by Nathan the prophet, I believe that David got his heart right with God. And he was open to whatever judgment God would pass upon him. He was willing to receive the consequences of his sins. And he just put himself at the mercy of God. And God restored him and God was working in his life. And now his own son wants to kill David. And he has to flee the city. Because his son now has a strong enough following that he has more on his side than it's actually on the side of David. David allowed that by putting him in a position where he could win over the hearts of the people. And Absalom was a very skilled and cunning man. And he won over the hearts of the people. Now they're in a revolt. So David has to flee the city, running from his own son. One of the lowest points in his life. And there comes this crazy man. It's a good thing it was David. If it was me, I'd say, take his head off. If it was you, amen. That's right. Most people would have just had their bodyguards take care of this idiot. And that's what you would look. He deserves to die. If he'd do that, I mean, he doesn't deserve to live. That's the flesh talking. That's what's going on. David's at a very low point in his life, but David realizes there's more that's going on than meets the eye. And so David, the whole time he's leaving, he's in prayer. Even though he's still going through the motions of what needs to be done, and he's leaving the city, he is very much aware of God. Because he knows that the only help that he has to make it through this is God's help. And he has to go through the motions, and everyone else is telling him what he needs to do, and he's following the orders, and he knows it's even though it's his son, he has to leave. He's willing to say, if my son wants me dead, I'm going to stay here and let him come and kill me. I mean, he was that low. I mean, he was dealing with that. And the men said, no, God, you're God's man. It's God's will for you. So we have to flee. We have to use wisdom here. And so they're leading him. But the whole time, David is just focused on his walk with God. As we serve God, there will be critics. And there will be those that just need to be heard. They think they need to be heard. There's going to be those that Satan's going to use to throw stones at you. There's going to be those that are going to make false accusations. There's going to be those that's going to lead others to have wrong thinking about you and your ministry. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If you're following after me, you're doing what I've done. And if they didn't like me, and if they did all these, made false accusations, and they persecuted me, and all, they will persecute you. I think he helped us to prepare for that as we serve the Lord. There's always going to be critics. There's always going to be somebody that's casting stones, looking to be a discouragement for you. They want you to quit. They don't want your testimony at work. They don't want your testimony to your family members. I could go on and on and on. They do not want that. And so they are the ones that feel like, I'm going to be heard. They're the Shimeites in our lives. Can I tell you, I think the message that God has for us here that we're going to learn, and I trust it comes across this way, but don't be defeated by the Shimeites in your life. Don't be defeated by those that are throwing rocks. It's not about the Shimeites. As David Reeve helps us to see here, it's about how we respond. Can I tell you, you can't do anything about somebody that's out there spreading lies about you? For the last 30 years as pastor of this church, I guarantee you, I hear things. And I've had people say, preacher was knocking on a door and they was telling me some things about you that we never heard about. And I'm thinking, I don't know where that came from, you know. 30 years, same place, doing the work of God. I guarantee you there's been a lot of Shimeites over the past 30 years. I can't do anything about people and what they say about me. And you can't do anything about what people say and do about you. If you try to go around and try to set straight everybody that's heard something negative about you, oh my goodness, your time would be occupied. You would never accomplish anything for the cause of Christ. You got to turn those things over to God. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, look there with me. I think that's what Paul was writing about. When he says, verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. If God be for you, who can be against you? We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body and the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That we are more concerned about accomplishing God's will for our lives than what anybody else is saying about us. Now, it can hurt. Especially you got family members. You got family members saying these things about you to other family members. You have co-workers saying these things about you to other co-workers. Can I tell you, even in the church, if you're not careful, we have Shimeites in the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We need to make sure that we're not a Shimei, amen? But when there is a Shimei that is throwing stones and saying things and leading in deceptions and all, you can't allow that to defeat you. You've got to let God deal with the Shimeis of your life. And you just got to make sure that you are focused on God and His will. Shimei throws rocks at David. Probably one of the lowest times of David's life in Shimei. Can I tell you that Satan will send those individuals into your life at some of your weakest hours, some of your more difficult times of life? They're going to come. Abishai wants to kill Shimei. Again, I love this part of this story. Then said Abishai, I mean, he's probably looking at him like, really? Do you not see everyone's around David? Do you not understand that you're just a little flea in the scope of this overall circumstance? And said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. It would not have, he would have really had a good time doing that. And can I tell you that David, if he was in the flesh, he would have allowed this. But David knew there's more going on than what meets the eye. Now, Abishai was a faithful servant and friend, and he was loyal to David. He would have done whatever David would have told him to do. You're going to find you're going to have some loyal friends like Abishai. And they're just waiting for you to give the word. Yeah. And you can cause a big stir in your employment, your area, your job, because then you can, let's just choose sides. Those that are on my side come over here. Those are on Shimei's side go over there, and let's have it out. And that's exactly what Satan would have loved to have happened. In the church, can I tell you that there has been many a church split over the Shimei's that Satan has planted. And you're going to have those that are going to support you, and you're going to have those that come to you and say, have you heard and do you know and all this? And who do they think they are? And let's just get those on our side together, and let's confront those on that side, and let's have it out. Families are destroyed this way. Families are. Look over. I want you to see who this Abishai is. Chapter 21. Chapter 21. I mean, this was a faithful supporter of King David. He was a very mighty man of war. We see this later on in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 16. David is still thinking he's young enough to go to battle with the other men. And they're in a fierce battle. And there's some relatives of Goliath, which referred to the giant. And they remember David, as a youth, killed Goliath. And one of these giants went after David. Look, I love this too. For chapter 21, verse 16. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. He put his eyes on David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, the very same Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. But this is the same man. This is the same one, this little 4-foot midget, loudmouth idiot. Crazy man who had to be heard. He saw him. And continue doing that. No doubt Abishai was an encouragement to David to know that you have friends that love you, to know that you have those that would support you. But listen to me. Causing a battle is not helping anybody. It's hindering the cause of Christ. It's hindering your testimony of Christianity in your work. It'll be hindering the testimony of Christ in your family. It'll hinder the testimony of Christ in this church. David knew that there was a spiritual battle being fought. God allowed Shimei to confront David. Now, God allowed him to confront him, although I believe it was Satan who had been fueling his anger and was tempting David to do something that would be a hindrance to the will of God. So now let's look at David's response to Shimei. I trust we can learn from this. You have Shimei's. If you don't right now, they're coming. They're coming. Number one, make sure that you're not the Shimei. Amen? And when you face the Shimei's of life, handle them the way that David does. David is in constant awareness of God and His will. Look at verse 10. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Is that really going to kill us? Don't you think other people consider the source? Don't you realize that other people know the shimeis of your employment, your place of employment, in your family, even in the church? Because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. David says some of what he's saying is true. God's used it to speak to me. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? This was a test for David. David walking close to God in one of the lowest points of his life, more vulnerable than possibly any other time, and Shimei comes against him. He could have responded in the flesh and allowed his men to take his head off, but he is thinking about God. He is looking to God for God's help upon his life to strengthen him, and he realizes God has something for me to learn through this. So he considers what had been said. Now, much of what Shimei was saying was not true, but David was a bloody man. What David realized is he did have the sin with Bathsheba, and he did murder Uriah. And he had not done what he should have done as Amnon's authority and father and king. He realized he was a bloody man. So David showed humility and restraint, not because of Shimei, but because of the God that he served. Can I tell you, when we're faced with the shimeis of life, we need to stay focused on why we're here. Romans in chapter 12. Romans in chapter 12. We're to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be willing to suffer persecution, even in well-doing, if it's going to further the cause of Christ. We are not to be made floor mats, and I'm not saying that you need to have other people roll over you and take advantage. That's not it at all. But if it's going to further the cause of Christ, we ought to be willing to swallow our pride, swallow our anger, and allow God to just work. The Bible says in verse 17 of Romans chapter 12, it says, recompense no man to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you. You can't give an account for somebody else, but you will give an account for you. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. If David allowed his bodyguards to take his head off, it would be avenging himself. That's not going to further the cause of Christ. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And if you would follow the life of Shimei, God did take care of Shimei through Solomon. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You turned him over to God. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What a testimony David would have now with his mighty men of valor. It took much more courage, much more strength. It took more self-control to say, leave him alone. Let him continue. Let God deal with him. Let's just focus on what God has for us to do right now. There's more important battles to fight. Choose your battles. You get caught battling all the little things, you're going to lose the most important battles of your life. Let certain things go. Let love cover it. Be willing to sacrifice and be willing to even accept persecution for the cause of Christ. Suffer. That's what he's saying. David judges himself. Verse 11. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, wanting them to learn from this, "Behold my son, which came forth of my bowels, my own son Absalom, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? How can I attack him and when my own son, I'm dealing with my own son wanting to kill me because of some of my past failures?" He's acknowledging his past failures. Let him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. He wouldn't be here if God didn't allow him to be here. And that Shimei in your life, he wouldn't be there if God didn't allow him to be there. So if God allowed him to be there, I think he's fueled by the devil through lies and deception. But if God allowed him into your life, God has something for you to learn. And he has a testimony that he wants to share with the rest of the world on how God's people deal with things. Because we are to be different. There was reasons for Absalom's rebellion. And David knew it. David knew his own son Absalom was aware of his sin with Bathsheba. David was aware of his own son Absalom would have been aware of his murdering of Uriah. He was aware of his failure to even discipline his other son Amnon for fear of losing Amnon. But you don't understand, when we fail to do what we ought to do, we're in danger of losing everything. Not only did he lose Amnon, and now he's lost Absalom because of his failure to be responsible and deal with his responsibilities as God would have him to. He should have judged Amnon, and he did not. David judges himself. The Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. I think it's very important that we be aware of our own sins and our own failures. After acknowledging sin and seeking to do right, don't have expectations of others. You're not in a place to put demands on somebody that you've wronged. Amen. You put yourself at their mercy. You ask for forgiveness, but you don't demand forgiveness. You don't deserve. You don't have that right to demand for forgiveness if you're the one that's done the wrong. Don't have expectations of others knowing that you've done wrong. The publican. I love that. The parable of the publican that Jesus gave. The Samaritan thought worthy of having walked with God in forgiveness and had everything because of who he was. I was Samaritan. He said, "I'm thankful I'm not as this lowly publican." The publican realized who he was in relationship to God and wouldn't even look up, smote his breast, and said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." That's how we need to respond. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I can't go back and change it. I can't go back and undo it, but I've done all that I can for the past. I've confessed it. I've forsaken it. I've put it behind me. I'm going forward. But you still might have to deal with some of the consequences. And when you're dealing with those that were affected by your past sins, do not have any expectations of them. You don't have a right to. Just glorify God when they do show mercy and forgiveness. Amen. And welcome you back into their home and their lives. In verse 12, we find David did this because he didn't want to risk God's blessings on his own life. In the long run, getting that revenge, just a temporary enjoyment? Is that temporary enjoyment, that pleasure of sin, is that worth losing your walk with God? Look at verse 12. We're done here. Verse 12. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction. If I handle this the way God would have me to, and God brought this into my life, I'm not going to return evil for evil. I'm going to overcome evil with good. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. It could be that God has me here to test me, and if I do what God would have me to in the middle of this test, it'll bring the blessings of God into my life. And that's exactly how God works. Exactly. He was not going to act out of anger or pride, but he would humble himself before an almighty God and say, let him be. For some of what he's saying is true. How can I expect more out of him than I do my own son? Right now, it's not a time to be battling the Shimeites. Let's focus on getting our strength from God for the battle for the kingdom. Yeah. I believe David's attitude and actions here could have been the test that would allow him to defeat Absalom and be restored to the kingdom. This was the test. And he passed the test. When the Shimeites come into your life, can I tell you that God is testing? There's something going on more than what meets the eye. Pass the test by doing and handling it the way that God would have you to. God will bring the Shimeites. He will allow them to come because God, through them, God will prove us. And he'll help you to see who you really are. And through that, he'll help others to see who you really are. I guarantee you, David did more to gain more respect from his men on that day than possibly any other time. They saw David respond as God would have him to respond. There's others watching. There's always others watching. How will we respond to the Shimeites in our lives? I trust that you'll use David's example and follow that. Let's pray. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. God has this story in the Bible for us to learn from. And I trust that we learn some things here. It's not about the Shimeites. It's about dealing with the Shimeites according to God's will and letting the testimony of Christ be the winner. Let God be exalted through it. Are you dealing with the Shimeites? Are you dealing with some things tonight that you need to come and just turn over to God? Don't leave here tonight until you've done just that. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of the word. Thank you for this life of Shimei, even though it's one that we don't want to follow after, it is one that we can learn from. As we see how he acted, and we see how David, a man after your own heart, would respond. Help us to respond likewise. Bless now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.